Grace to you and peace from God and from Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. We're looking at parables that Jesus told. What's a parable? It's a story Jesus told in order to teach us about the kingdom of God, about our relationship with God and with each other. And so parables reveal to us secrets about God's kingdom for those who have ears to hear. Today, I'd like to take a look with you at Jesus's parable of the workers in the vineyard, found in Matthew chapter 20, and see what Jesus teaches us there about the kingdom of God, about secrets to be revealed to God's people about how it is in God's kingdom. So let's take a look there and start out by just reading it, and then we'll go through it in more detail, explaining it. Here we are in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus told this parable, this story, saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I'll give to you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one's hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So," and Jesus concludes it like this, "the last will be first, and the first last." That's an amazing story. And let's take a look at it and see what Jesus is really talking about here. We'll go through it verse by verse. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Now, how many of you really think of this word master of a house? Do you use that word in your everyday language? No, we don't talk that way. The word in the Greek is hoika despotes. Hoika, house, despotes, like despot, master of a house. But really here in this parable, he's talking about the owner of a great vineyard, a vineyard keeper and owner, someone who owns a great business. He has a very large estate of vine, of grapes. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. Now, who is the owner of the vineyard in this story? God, right? God is the owner of the vineyard. And in fact, throughout the Bible, this is a very common theme that God is the owner of a vineyard. Jesus employs that here. And what's this vineyard owner do? What do we read there at the very beginning? It says, he went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, we might not be accustomed to this kind of behavior, because when we get hired for a job, we're hired for a season, we're hired for a year, for years. We fill out our W-4, we get our W-2, we get our take out our taxes and Social Security, we get paid every week. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. These are day laborers. And this was very important in those days, and in Jesus' days, especially when harvest came. Remember, this man has a great estate, huge, lots of vines, lots of grapes, and they got to be gathered at once or you lose the whole thing. You can't delay. Your ordinary number of employees is not going to work. So what happened in those days was at harvest time, the owner of the vineyard would go down to the public square or to the city gates and hire whomever he could find, people there waiting to be hired for the day, day laborers. And so we see here that this vineyard owner went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. If God is the vineyard owner and he goes out early in the morning, what is this teaching us? He has a great vineyard, a huge harvest, and he needs people to work in it. What's the vineyard? It's the world, the field of the world. And God says, I'm going to hire laborers. Who's that? You and me, right? To go out into his vineyard, into his field, into the world, to bring in a harvest of righteousness and souls saved for Christ. You go, he says, and watch. He goes out when? It says early in the morning. In Jesus' day, the workday was basically 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., so that's a 12-hour workday, which means the vineyard owner got down to the public square and the gates of the city when? 5:30 in the morning, before sunrise, in the dark. He walks around and sees who he can find. He hires them and sends them out into the field. He sends us out into the field. Verse 2, we read, and after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Let me ask you, what's a denarius? You know what that is? We don't use that word either. As a Roman coin, that was equal to a day's wages, equal to 12 hours of work, is what a Roman soldier would earn in a day. Now, some of your commentaries or notes you'll see in your Bible say it's equal to 15 cents. Well, you know what you're reading? An old commentary. When people only earn 15 cents a day. Remember those? No, you probably don't remember those days. If you do, God bless you. But you know what? It's a day's wages, whatever you would earn in a day, 12 hours, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. He says, you go out to these people in the dark before sunrise. You go out and work in my field, and I'll pay you a denarius, a day's wages. And they're like, cool, that's great. And they go out into the field. And because God... Because the vineyard owner gets here early in the day, what's that teach us about God? He sends out people urgently. There's much work to be done. And some people he calls early in the day. What's that mean? Early in life, right? At maybe 20 years old, 15, 10, 5, 1. As an infant or a teenager or a young adult, he calls you and you work your whole life. You're out there in the field bringing in a harvest for the whole 12 hours. And so God is great because he promises us what? Wages. You're not going to be working for me for nothing, God says. At the end of the day, I will pay you and pay you promptly for your work and labor that you've done. And so we, like they, go out joyfully into the fields to do the work. So we read in the next verse, verse 3, and going out about the third hour, he, that's the vineyard owner, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give to you. So they went. What's this mean, the third hour? Anybody know that? We don't talk like that either. We got a lot of interpretation here, right? The third hour, 12-hour workday, starts at 6 a.m. What's 3 hours after that? The third hour, 9 a.m. So the vineyard owner is very urgent, much work to be done. He goes out there at 9 a.m. He finds others standing idle, not doing anything, not doing any work. He employs them and hires them. But in this case, notice no contract. He doesn't say no for a denarius, you'll do this, but he says, whatever is right, I will give to you. That's very important for what Jesus' point will be later on. And so they went too. They say, cool, at least a little money is better than none at all. So off they went. So you can think here in that verse from Matthew chapter 9. Does this sound familiar? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Huge work to be done in the world, even today, amen? So we need to pray, God, you send out more. At sunrise, at 9 a.m., and what's 9 a.m.? Maybe these people are in their 30s or 40s. Or 50s, however you want to look at it, a little bit later in the day. They too join the work, for there's much to be done. But Jesus goes on. We read then in verse 5, going out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. So what are those hours? That's 12 noon, which means what? You're halfway through the workday. You only got 6 hours left. And the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m. You only got 3 hours left to get any work done. But God sends them out because the work is great. You know, in those days, if you have a harvest, the grapes are ripe, and you don't get them in quickly, you're going to lose the harvest. So get out there into the field. And God says the same to us. I got a huge harvest, huge. big, ripe. You go to, even if I call you at midlife, at 12 noon, that would be whatever you want to call it, 50 years old, or at 3 p.m., maybe you're in your 60s or your 70s or something like that. You two go out and whatever's right, at the end of the day, I'll give to you. So these two went. We go on to verse 6. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. So what's this? I mean, we always talk about the 11th hour. That's something we do say, right? They won the game in the 11th hour. Well, we still talk like that. What is the 11th hour if it's 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.? We're talking 5 p.m., right? Just as it's about to get dark. Sunset, maybe he goes and he hires them 15 minutes before sunset. And they got just a little time after sunset before it's dark and there's no more work that can be done. He hires them at the 11th hour. Late in life, at the end of the game, very late in the season, with almost no time before the end of the harvest, but he says, you go too. These are those who are idle, perhaps for their whole lives, for decades. No work for God. But you see here God's urgent grace. He says, you too, go out into my vineyard. There's still a few minutes left to gather in some grapes for me. You too go, and whatever is right at the end of the day, I will give to you. Why do you stand here idle? Which in the Greek is the word argos. Why are you not working? Why don't you have a thought? You're useless. You're ineffective. You're not accomplishing anything. You go out there too. And even if it's very late in the game, whatever is right, I'll give you. What's this teach us about God? A real great grace, don't you think? That it's never too late until the last bell rings to come to Christ and to work for him. I remember I was witnessing once to a Jewish lady years ago, older lady, and I tried to bring her to Christ, and she interrupted me and stopped me and said, honey, I'm too old to change now. But you know what? You're never too old to change now. Even if you're hired at the 11th hour, you on your last days on this earth, our last day, if you come, God says, you go out and what is right, I'll pay to you. You still have a few minutes. You get out there and work. So these are all great points from God, from Jesus, but it's not his main point. Jesus goes on in verse 8. Jesus says, and when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. That's very important. In other words, Jesus says, I'm going to pay, or the vineyard owner will pay, but you start with the people that were hired at 5 p.m., just before sunset, who had only a few minutes before dark, and then work your way all up to the people who started the day at 6 a.m. before sunrise. And this is good. This is the vineyard owner working according to scriptures, Old Testament. Proverbs 3 says, don't say to your neighbor, come, go, and I'll come again tomorrow. I will give it when you have it with you. Leviticus 19, God says, you shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. Pay them promptly. And so this guy hires them. As soon as the workday is done, it's dark. Can you picture it? They're all coming in from the field. It's dark. The vineyard owner's there. His manager's at his right hand. And they get in a big line from the last to the first. And then they start paying them their wages for the day. What's this teach us about God? God is not going to delay in paying you for your work for his field. He's going to pay you promptly because he's honest and good, just like this vineyard owner. But Jesus is leading up to his main point. The 5 p.m. workers are paid first. Verse 9, he says, and when those hired about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., each of them received a denarius. What is that? The equivalent of 12 hours pay, even though they only worked for like 45 minutes or an hour. They get a whole day's wages, and they are astounded. They are amazed. They are bewildered at the generosity of this man. A full day's wage, 12 times what we expected to get. They must have jumped up and yelled, woohoo, and praise to the master for his grace. Jesus then says in verse 10, Now, when the first came, those hired before that, and especially the 6 a.m. people before sunrise, when they came up, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. Imagine their shock, you know. Imagine if you're in this situation. You're in the dark. These old Johnny-come-latelys, you hear this commotion up ahead of you. And they go by you in the dark. These men going, I got a denarius, I can't believe it. And you're like, wow, those guys got a denarius? They work for like an hour. What are we going to get? We must be getting 12 hours, 12 days worth of wages. So they get up to the front of the line, and they're given a denarius. And they're like, what? They are appalled. They're angry. They're bitter. As Jesus says in verse 11, and on receiving it, these early sunrise workers who worked all day, when they got just a denarius, they grumbled at the vineyard owner, saying, these last worked only an hour, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. They were appalled. They were angry. They were bitter. Wouldn't you be? It's not fair, they shouted. You give them a denarius, but they did so little. We work so much more than they. We deserve 12 days' wages. Or, if you give us a denarius, fine. But at least don't just give these Johnny-come-latelys the same as you give to us, who bore the heat of the day, the brunt of the burden, and sweat for you from sunrise to sundown. If this were your situation, wouldn't you say the same? It's not fair. Verse 13. But Jesus says that the owner of the vineyard replied to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So what do you make of this so far? Does this make economic sense? Do you explain it to me? Does this make economic sense? It doesn't make economic sense. That's part of Jesus' point. It doesn't now, and it didn't then. Back then, as now it was then, if you work more, you expect more. If you work less, you expect less. And these workers from the morning were appalled because they got just a denarius after 12 hours when these Johnny-come-latelys got the same for just 1 hour. But how does the owner reply here? Or how will God reply? The owner of the vineyard replies, friend. In other words, he says, why are you being hostile and angry? I call you friend. I'm doing you no wrong. Did I not meet with you this morning and to hire you? Well, yes, but, and did we not agree for a denarius? Well, yes, did you not work the day? Well, yes, but, and did I not give you what I contracted to give you? Well, yes, but you begrudge my generosity. Isn't that his main point? And literally in the Greek, it says, why are you looking at me with an evil eye? Because I am good and generous. And they says, yes, but, well, is it not my money? Well, yes, it is. Am I not allowed to do what I want with what belongs to me? Well, yes, but take what belongs to you and go. And so Jesus concludes the story with these words, so the last will be first and the first last. Yikes, right? It's still confusing a little bit. What's going on? Here's a couple points. Number one, and we'll lead up to the main point. Number one, though, God calls us into his kingdom, into his field, into the worlds to bring in a harvest. It's ripe. Get out there and work, God says. Bring in a harvest of righteousness. That's good. Number two, he promises us wages that we will be repaid for our work. He's just and honest, and he will pay us promptly. That's good. Amen? Thirdly, in the kingdom, he's gracious to call many, but at different times in their lives. Some early in the day, some middle of the day, some late in the day, some at the very last 11th hour. Go out and I'll pay you what I think is right and good. That is good. Amen? That's great. Fourthly, he's super generous. To some who go out in the 11th hour, they think, what can I gain now? I came to Christ so late in life. What's there to gain? There's not much. I expect little. But Jesus teaches us here, God is super generous. He's full of surprises. Don't be discouraged because you come to Christ late in life or get on the bandwagon or out into the field at the very 11th hour. Because you may be surprised. You don't know what to expect. It might just be he gives you much more than you think. You may be surprised, so be encouraged. Even if you come to Christ late in life, there's potentially a great reward, and that's good, amen? But now let's get to Jesus' main point, which is what he's really after. I'll tell you, he's telling this story against a certain attitude of the heart amongst his workers in the world, amongst his Christians. More specifically, Jesus is teaching this parable here against pride. For just before this parable, let's take a look at the context, why Jesus told it. Jesus is telling Peter and the disciples, saying it's going to be hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, etc. Peter said in reply, "Lo, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. What shall we have?" Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." But I believe Jesus perceived in Peter a certain attitude of the heart of pride. If I work hard and all day, yeah, I'm going to be above all the others, and I'm going to be looking down on everybody else. An attitude of pride. Do you know what? We can see that after the parable, the same thing, even after the parable. Same thing, verse 17, actually, verse 20, just three verses later. The mother of the sons of James and John, sons of Zebedee, came up to him with her sons, kneeling before Jesus, asked him for something. "What do you want?" Jesus says. She said, "Command these two sons of man may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in the kingdom." What are the disciples aiming at? I want to be above everybody else. If I work hard and follow you, guess what? I'm going to get more than everybody else. I'm going to be on top of them, looking down. And Jesus says, this is not how it is to be in my kingdom. I need to correct this with you with a story. And we read also in Mark 9, they came to Capernaum, and when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they were silent, for they were discussing with one another who is the greatest. Do you see that attitude? Can you see that attitude in Christians in the church? I work harder. I've been a Christian from early in life. I'll look down on you who was a Johnny come lately. Do you know that the prodigal son story that we talked about a couple weeks ago is the same thing? Where the elder brother says, "What are you doing, Father, giving to this aberrant son who went and squandered all your wealth on harlots, who's a Johnny-come-lately sinner, while I've been here working with you all day long? I never left you. I've been in this house working, yet you give him a robe and a gold ring and you kill the fatted calf? I won't go in." It's the same story. Jesus is preaching here against that attitude of self-righteousness and pride of the heart that would look down and say, "I've worked better, I'm higher, I look down on the others." Jesus says, not how it's going to work. Not how it's going to work in my kingdom. You are to look on each other with humility. Count others better than yourselves. And if I give greatly to them, you're to rejoice in that and not be selfishly jealous. This is how you are to be in my kingdom. As Jesus says in another place, Luke 17, Jesus says, "You also," listen carefully, "you also, when you've done all that is commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty.'" So I want to ask you, what's your heart today? Do you say, "Hey, I've been a Christian my whole life," or "for many years," or "Would God give even as great or even greater gifts to this person than he gave to me when this person was a sinner their whole life and just came at the last minute?" Well, Jesus says, take the low position of the heart. God actually does give us wages that are different according to our labor. Okay, that's in 1 Corinthians 3 and other places. But what he's after here is your heart, my friends. When you go out in the field, you got to know that in Christianity, everybody's equal. You're not to look down on one another. You're all one in me, in Jesus Christ. You can't ever go to God demanding, "Hey, you got to pay me more what you owe me." You ever going to go to God speaking to him like that? Jesus says, don't go there. You go there humbly. And if you do complain and grumble at the vineyard owner, God will say to you, "Why do you begrudge my generosity that I give to the last as I give to you? Can't I do what I want with what belongs to me?" You're like, And if I choose to give to the latecomers what I give to you, is that not my right? Well, rather than being self-righteous, thinking I owe you, you ought to take the low position of the heart and rejoice in my generosity to give to these poor and the last as I give to you. So, listen, the humble heart, expecting little from God, will be first. But the heart of the prideful, expecting much, will be last. It's the attitude of the heart that Jesus is after in this parable. For 2 Samuel 22 says, thou dost deliver a humble people, but thy eyes are upon the prideful to bring them down. So let's rejoice that actually, at the end of the day, what do we really deserve from God? Nothing, really. Even at the end of the day in the work, we deserve death and hell for our sins. But God is generous. Jesus died. He rose again to give us all the free gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. And Peter didn't get this. He didn't get this for a long time, this parable, this point. But God drove it, and it went into his heart later. For we read here later, Peter says in his second letter, he starts it like this. Listen carefully. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, watch, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours in the righteousness of our God and the Savior Jesus Christ. Did Peter finally get the point? He looks on all these others. He doesn't say, exalted apostle Peter am I. He says, we're all equal in the kingdom. We're all equally loved. We all have the equal free gift of righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. And so let's let God give out his rewards as he chooses. And then if another who came later than you, a great sinner, is given great grace, rather than being filled with self-righteous jealousy, let's rejoice in that. And say with those at the 11th hour, you got that? God gave you that much? That's marvelous. Isn't that great? I rejoice with you as I also rejoice in his grace to me. In Jesus' name, amen.